The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, joined by Boris, my other half.
Hi, thank you for listening to us. It's going to be an interesting show. Back to Amy.
God willing.
Yes.
Our show is available live on your radio, also through our app called The Cure, on any smartphone. And you can also hear us on godisthecure.com. We are broadcasting today from Miami via satellite, and later it's a podcast. This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, the courage to keep moving forward despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone. And in this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have experts in the field and inspirational speakers that are willing to help us with valuable information, knowing that education is necessary, awareness is vital, and comfort is so very much needed. I believe we all suffer or have suffered from something, and we hope to be a source of healing for each other. My healing came from God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be challenging, but always know there's always someone who cares. The song that we played earlier was Angel by Your Side by Francesca Battistelli. I am very blessed that I get to pick four songs for the breaks, but I would love my listeners' help. If they go to godisthecure.com through the contact form, submit your songs. If I play them, then you will be rewarded with a gift card like iTunes or Amazon. But anyhow, here's my take. What I get from this song. Life can be difficult sometimes for all of us. So many things could throw us off or make us feel discouraged. It can feel like we're running out of strength or faith. I know those days. If we truly listen to God's teachings, if we know to be courageous and of good cheer, we should only have good thoughts. And our actions should only be those that are peacemaking and pleasing to God. God was the reason I was strong when I felt I could no longer go on. God is the reason I never gave up the fight and the smile that makes it go away. He has always been the angel by my side, and He did always provide. We can think like and act like Jesus Christ if we allow God to work through us so we can be that very same angel by the side of others. And it starts with kindness. We are very excited to have Veronica Summer Malaga, the kindness coach, with us today. Veronica Summer is a certified coach, founder of Kindness Solution, and mom of a teen and tween, just like us. She works one-on-one with middle-aged parents who are feeling overworked, overwhelmed, and burned out. She helps them see their disillusionment and lack of fulfillment as a middle-aged awakening so that they can expand and embody who they truly are and experience those little underrated things called fun, adventure, and pleasure. Veronica is also involved with various nonprofits, working proactively to to act kindness to all aspects of our lives and help children. Despite the many challenges she went through, she never lost the sight of God. Veronica, thank you for being with us, and welcome to the Cure Radio Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy. It's a delight to be here.
Veronica, I read a little bit about you, and your life is extremely impressive. And even more impressive is how you've turned your life around and what's come from it. And where should we start? Can you give us a little bit about what prompted you to be who you are today?
Well, you know, I grew up Catholic, and my mom was very, you know, she's always had a very strong spiritual connection to God, and so I was very lucky to have that modeled for me, you know, from the beginning of time. So we always were very active in our church, and we, you know, she sang in the choir, and we, you know, did service in the community, and we prayed together as a family. And so that really gave me a very strong foundation. I definitely always felt, you know, also a strong connection to God, and that I had, you know, angels watching over me.
And I'm sure that's what prepared you for the life to come. I can say the same, except my experiences are a little different. My mother was Catholic, yes, 9 children, very Catholic. But
wow.
My experience of knowing religion was a little different. She presented God as a punishing God and a God to fear. And then she would say that the Bible would tell her things about us for which we would get in trouble. Or mainly me, actually. But she did teach us some good things about God. She said, if you have faith, he will save you. It's been true in my life. And I take the good with the bad, and I stay with the good.
Without a doubt. I always say to people, take the best and leave the rest. Because there are, you know, a lot of people, I'm lucky that I didn't have that judgment piece of it like so many people do growing up. And that makes a lot of people, you know, stray away from the church and stray away from their faith because of that judgment. And, you know, you and I both know that God loves all of us no matter what. And if we can, you know, my main concern with my kids is just, you know, anytime they're having any type of a struggle or a challenge at school or, you know, issue with a friend or anything, just, you know, I just say, ask God for help. He's always there. You know, it's remembering to turn to him.
It's interesting that you say judgment, but I see it even in my religion. And, but I'm careful not to judge myself. And not to judge the person who's being judgmental, because we could so easily fall into that trap and just try to focus that it's not even about our way of thinking or our humanly thought process. It's not even about us. We have to do it. We have to think in the way that Christ would think. And we're not there for the priest that said something wrong that we don't agree with, or we're not there because we want to, but because it's good to sacrifice a little. Because if you focus on not yourself so much, but you focus on doing it for God and everything that you do for God, then it's easier not to fall in those traps that you can be judgmental.
Totally.
And from judgmental comes anger and a lot of other things. And I think that's the opposite of being kind. Isn't kind being understanding and loving unconditionally?
Without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, it really is unconditional love. That really, and anything else, it's just like, you know, A Course in Miracles says, you know, you either are in a place of love or fear, and, you know, judgment falls right into that category. There's actually one of the principles in A Course in Miracles is judgment is not an attribute of God. So, have you read that text at all, or Marianne Williamson's Return to Love?
You know, I haven't read a lot of things. I'll be honest. I haven't even read the Bible, although I see a lot of scripture on Facebook. Those are my Facebook friends. They're so awesome. But I read The Saints Who Battled Satan, and man, I learned a lot.
Wow. Yeah. No, I haven't read that, but I love the simplicity.
I highly recommend it. We're about to go into break, and I'm Amy Cabo, guys, and you're listening to The Cure. We'll continue talking about why and how and when kindness matters. But please do call in if you want to share a gesture of kindness. 866-34-TRUTH.
With Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
But if the world was ending, you'd come over, right? You'd come over and you'd stay the night. Would you love me for the hell of it? All our fears would be irrelevant. If the world was ending, you'd come over, right? The sky'd be falling and I'd hold you tight. And there wouldn't be a reason why we would even have to say goodbye. If the world was ending, you'd come over, right? Right. If the world was ending, you would come over, right? Right.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Joining us, you're listening to The Cure. Today, we have Veronica Sommer, a kindness coach.
Remember that you can listen to the radio show live through The Cure app under Amy Cabo. Later, the show will be available as a podcast. Search for The Cure on any podcast app, and please, subscribe.
That was If the World Was Ending by J.P. Sachs and Julia Michaels. I picked this song, but I'd love you guys' help. You can always go to God is the Cure contact form, leave us your songs.
GodIsTheCure.com.
Oh, GodIsTheCure.com. A little contest. Try it. I might play it. So, this is my take. If the world was ending, would we turn to God? Would we stay for a while and love God anyway? Because our fears wouldn't matter. Even if this guy was falling, he would hold us tight, and there would never be a reason to say goodbye. It took me a lot of trials to get to where I am. I'm not willing to wait until the world is ending. So, Veronica, so what about that? Okay, so you grew up knowing God and being introduced to God, actually being a lot active in the church than we ever were. So you had a very strong foundation, but you know, that's the one that the enemy wants the most, the one that God finds important, the one that God, that is precious to God. That's the one that he doesn't want to give up on. So there was a time in your life when your faith was challenged. I know mine was. Tell us your story.
Yes, I mean, I think we all have our faith challenged at various times. The first time I really felt challenged, I think, was when I was in college. I came to learn that my mom and my aunt, my namesake, who I was named after, my aunt Veronica, were basically put in foster care by their own parents. Who did not feel capable of taking care of them, both because of addiction and mental illness. And the foster care family that they ended up staying with, they severely sexually and physically and emotionally abused both of them at ages, you know, 4 and 5. And wow. I couldn't believe, A, that, you know, that they could be given up by their own parents, and then B, that such evil existed. It's really hard to even say really what happened there. I had to, you know, turn. The only way that I could process that was actually to, you know, first I was challenged, but then, you know, just to cultivate a deeper relationship. And I think that's also where this sense of justice that I seem to have, and that translated to the nonprofit, you know, to fight for the voiceless and to, you know, do something for the people that are suffering massively now. And then, you know, my I don't know if you want to ask me anything about that part of it, because,
well, that must have been very difficult for you. I don't know what it is that you discovered this, and but your mother and your mother's sister, they suffered so much, but look what was the product of that, and you became the solution. What breaks the cycle, what breaks the chain?
Yeah.
And you did it. Yeah. by your it's almost as if your remedy, what cured you, was understanding, kindness. You came up with something called, because even your husband or something, I think I read, had cancer, or you went through some very trying times.
Yes, my husband had stage 4 cancer a couple of years ago. Thank God he's in remission now.
And thank God he's in remission. And how did you hold yourself together through that? You've held on to faith, I think. Just like, yeah, I have, because, yeah, that's the only thing that gets you through. Once you lose faith, whether it be in yourself or in God or in others who can be there for you, it's a lost case. And God never wants to lose us. That's why he puts people like you in the world. Which came up with that kindness solution. So tell us about your solution, Veronica.
Well, you know, it's been mulling around in my head for the last 7 or 8 years or so. So it's evolved and grown over time. So my son is 14. He's a freshman in high school. And my daughter is a sixth grader in middle school. And when my son was in
that's exactly
grade,
the age
I,
of our kids.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Yes. 12 and 14.
So you're right in the thick of it too, right?
No,
14. Oh, hold on. We have actually the real person here. Look at that.
Hi.
Oh. Hi.
I'm their daughter.
How are
you? I'm just in the back. They just told me to be quiet.
Okay.
I love it.
Thank
I love
you.
It. So when my son was in first grade, I remember, you know, already hearing about, you know, bullying and anti-bullying, and I felt like, God, they're 6 years old. Like, does bullying really happen in first grade? So
are you kidding me?
Principal. Yeah, I mean, and you know, I always have tried to frame everything in a positive manner. So even just anti-bullying is, you know, counterintuitive to me. So I went to our principal and I said, you know, I'd love to create some type of a program here about, you know, proactively being kind. And we, you know, called it Kindness Matters. It affects everybody. And, you know, you try to help kids understand that the person who's doing the bullying is probably having their own spiritual disconnection. I feel like anytime any of us are unkind, you know, child or adult alike, it's because we're disconnected from our true self. God,
well, didn't they?
The divine.
Then they,
you know.
Then they always say it's very difficult to be mean to somebody who's being kind.
Yeah.
I mean,
without a doubt.
It's possible. It's possible. It happened to Jesus. It's possible. But it's very difficult,
yeah,
so it's worth a try.
Yeah.
Well, we're going into break now.
Okay.
I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Please check our app with The Cure with Amy Cabo.
Please call in if you'd like to share an act of kindness you experienced. Call us, 866-34-TRUTH.
Or if you have a kindness suggestion.
Okay.
You can suggest how to be kind.
Right.
with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Inviting people round to stay and always owning up to things, 'cause after all I guess it all depends upon the people you choose and where you're from. So I've been so lucky so far, it's outrageous. I won't complain, no. I'll give myself a little credit since I dealt with all the pain. Yeah, I turned superhero, I'm coming in Bruce Wayne.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Welcome back to The Cure, guys, with Amy Cabell and Boris. Listen to us every Saturday at 1 p.m. on your radio or our app, The Cure, or our website, godisthecure.com.
All shows are available as a podcast or a video podcast. Just look for The Cure on any podcast channel.
That was 1010 by Rex Orange County. I picked the songs. These are my take. But I'll give you my take on songs you submit through godisthecure.com, the contact form. And if I play it, you get a gift card.
What? $25.
This is so much my song, by the way. I did it again. No control over my emotions, and it takes me more than a year, and I'm still trying to focus. All the fights only make me realize no one wins in the end, and you're on your own. Think of solutions and ways to be helpful, to create precious memories. With God, we learn to always own up to things and realize we've been lucky so far. It's amazing how incredibly blessed we are. How can we complain? Let's give ourselves credit for dealing with the pain. Each one of us can be superheroes and come in like Bruce Wayne. We're talking to Veronica Summer, the kindness coach.
Amy apparently loves her interpretation of the songs.
I just have a lot of fun most of the time. So here's what I love about it, Veronica, because it helps, especially with bullying with kids, to be kind. And how about with the middle-aged parents?
Helps with grown-ups too.
You said something about helping parents find dissolution and fulfillment in their life, and it sounds wonderful. And what is there after maybe like 20 years of marriage like us? but I know there's more to life than just getting by, than just existing, than just surviving. Don't do what's just expected of you. Go the little extra step, do the little extra mile, leave an impression. But what's your take?
Yeah. Well, in terms of people our age with children, I think especially living in the digital, ever-connected world that we're currently finding ourselves, it's just a lot, you know. It's a lot to work full time and be a conscious, present parent and get people to sports and activities and foster their faith, but either, at home and or, in whatever community you belong to. You just kind of, like, for me personally, I just felt like I kind of lost myself in the achieving, in the, growing of a family and all the things that come along with that. It's like I got squeezed out of the equation of my own life. And so I wanted to be like, my old fun self, but I didn't really feel that fun. I felt pretty unfun, actually. And so, even my in-laws, they would say to me, we missed the old Veronica, and, commented that they thought that I was depressed. And I was like, you know what? I am depressed, and I miss her too, more than you.
Well,
know,
at least you didn't use an excuse and say, "Well, I've gotten older."
Wiser. No, that's one thing. Definitely wiser, definitely older, but not willing to settle for mediocrity, and knowing like you're meant for more. You know, like because I think, you know, it's like, well, we set this whole thing up. We have these jobs, we have these mortgages, we live in these places, we have these children to care for, and so it's like, you know, it can feel confining if you're not connected to yourself. And that goes back to how I was able to kind of reconnect with myself, was to, I recognize, you know, I'm not super happy in the work that I'm doing anymore. I used to, you know, I loved recruiting. I was in recruiting for 23 years. But I realized many years ago that I, you know, was meant to do more, and really felt a call for service and contribution and, you know, humanitarianism, whatever you want to call it. And so I felt, you know, like I had a lot of limiting beliefs around, not completely limiting, very realistic constraints of, I live in Fairfield County, which is a very expensive place to live. And I had made the decision to buy a very large, expensive house, and all of the things that come along with that. So there's a lot of undoing that has to happen to kind of look at your life. And so the kindness solution starts always with you and inquiring and going inward to see, what are my values? Where do they come from? Are they, you know, are they conditioned and come from my family, you know, and teachers and the culture that I was brought up in? And do they belong to me now? Are they still true for me today? Or, you know, do I believe something differently now? And I think that's a really important piece for anyone to realize at any age, is we always have a choice. We always have a choice. We're never stuck. And so it took me a few years to make that transition from being in recruiting to now doing what I always, you know, I knew that I wanted to do, probably always, if you look back, if you look at my bookshelf, which is hilarious, I have basically people come over, they're like, this is like a library. I'm like, I know. And I always like want to like send people off with a book based on what they're experiencing, like some struggle that they're having. I'm like, here, take this with you. Read it, but make sure you give it back.
That's amazing. So, I love it. You couldn't have said that better, because aren't we always creatures that are always changing, and hopefully for the better? But it's true. We can feel suffocated with life, feel like that constantly stressed and that there's no time. If you're not connected with God, it's almost as if, you know, I've learned to avoid frustrations having God in my life. And it seems like everything's perfect timing. And it's just my role that's changed so completely after I realized that a lot of my frustrations I brought upon myself, and I could easily just simplify my life and make things easier. And that's just one example. But just living by good values bring about better results altogether in general.
Without a doubt.
I think.
Yeah, I mean, you really nailed it. I mean, it's so fascinating, because I, you know, I had all these books on positive thinking and mindset and, you know, personal power. And I mean, honestly, none of those books on my bookshelf, every single one is either self-help, spirituality, metaphysics, healing. You know, there's no fiction on there. But my point is, I did create a lot of my own angst, because my primary question was, or kind of statement that I had running after I had kids, was, there's not enough time in the day.
And yes, I remember that one.
A terrible downward momentum. There's not enough time in the day. Well,
it's so frustrating, right? Now, you know what? I just get up earlier. I make the whatever task more simple, easier, faster to do, or, you know, I mean, little things that I've learned. Like, I've learned everything that I do gentle and soft works out better too. I mean, everything. Because think about it. If you put all those books, all those self-help books together, I don't know, I've never read them, but could you tell me, if you put them all together, could all of that be already explained in parables in the Bible?
Yeah. I mean, I think that
Nice.
Really, I when you say it like that, but I mean, really, it's surrender. It's surrender. It's turning your life. And,
so really, and I only have to read one book.
God. Exactly.
I love it.
Save yourself some time.
Just keep reading it.
Totally. Because, yeah. But I'm all about ease and flow and divine timing and serendipity right now, because I just spent the last 48 years in a place of hard work, struggle. I will try harder. I will work harder until I ran myself into the ground. And then you're like, why am I doing this? And then you realize, like, it really is self-inflicted. Like, you always can change your thoughts.
Incredible.
You know?
It's like, why didn't I think of this before? Where have I been?
Yeah. You're like, man, I'm a slow take. This is a way freaking easier way to live.
But you know what? And that's why we're so compelled to help others and to be there for others, to let them know, hey, you don't have to live this way. You don't have to think this way. You don't have to believe the enemy. You don't have to believe the hype. You can still be okay. And, you know, and that's why I pray every day, because I'm not dumb either. Yeah. Any given moment.
Yeah.
I can fall.
Yeah.
Any given moment. Because the more I pray and the more I try to get close to God, the more the enemy is going to not give up and is going to keep trying. When we're back, we will continue talking with Veronica Summer about how to be kind to others and to yourself.
Yay!
I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
We'll be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
We will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Thanks for being with us. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure, as you just heard. You can listen to us live every Saturday at 1 p.m. on our app, The Cure, on your radio, on social media. Just look for God is The Cure.
Later, the show will be available as a podcast, and that's probably tomorrow. Right, Jasper? Search for The Cure with Amy Cabo on any podcast channel.
That was I Will Trust in You. Beautiful, gorgeous song by Lauren Daigle. Daigle? Daigle? I don't know if I say it right.
Daigle.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Michelle. We always need God in good times and bad. Even when mountains aren't moved or prayers aren't answered, God will provide. Even those things we do not understand. God, we want nothing less. We don't always know the answers. We just have to know to always put our trust in you. I realize that no matter how many times I worried or stressed or got depressed about anything, everything still worked out okay. No matter what, no matter how bad it looked, no matter how convinced I thought it wouldn't turn out okay, it still turned out okay. And it took many times, but I finally got it. Trust God. We're talking with Veronica Summer about how to deal with the challenges in life by having faith and using kindness.
Apparently, it's very important to be kind to each other. I was also reading some of the things that you read, that you wrote, Veronica, about, yes, the kindness solution. I really like that idea because basically you're saying that kindness is a solution to everything. If you're kind to each other, we can make much more.
Well, kindness only works with my our teenager. There's no, I'm your parent, this is what you do. It's like, no. Oh, a lot of psychology.
Yeah. That definitely doesn't work with a teenager. one thing I want to just say, what you said before, Amy, about everything always working out. And I drive my kids nuts because anytime something good or serendipitous happens, I'm like, go ahead, say it. And they're like, everything's always working out for us.
Nice.
I always say, like, everything's always working out for me. Everything's always working out for us. That's the positive, you know, language that we have to ingrain in them because they're just so hammered from by so much stuff. It's like, just remember, everything is always working out for you. Everything's always right. Working out for us. So that's just something that you can share with them. But yes, Boris, I mean, it's funny. I've been trying to think about how to talk about the kindness solution in a concise way that makes sense to people because it's all encompassing, but really if you narrow it down, it comes down to self, others, and the community, world, and all beings. And so the self is exactly what we talked about, you know, learning to be kind with your own thoughts and how you treat yourself, what you give yourself permission to do. And, you know, using affirmations to remember that, you know, the truth of who you are, you know, that's why affirmations are great. And body, you know, with all the same thing, you know, grown-ups and adults, I think this applies, and grown-ups and kids applies for self is, you know, body, you know, what you put in it matters. Food matters. And, you know, nutrition matters. And hydration matters. Like, all of these things that are just so common sense, but...
There's a reason why God said the body's a sacred vessel. And just the same way we shouldn't hurt others, we shouldn't hurt ourselves. We think that not hurting others is good enough, but sometimes we neglect ourselves.
We do. And then we wonder why we feel so crappy. So mind, body, spirit. And then and spirit really is that spiritual connection with whatever, you know, God, divine, higher power, whatever word that you use, it's really, again, going inward and connecting with the truth of who you are. So once you are solid and you are in alignment, then you can extend that kindness to the people around you, starting with the people we love most in our family, who, as we know, tend to push our buttons. I mean, our immediate family are the ones that see our most unkind behavior because they trigger us.
Sometimes it's our only challenge.
Familiar. Oh, my goodness. Don't get me started. That's in my lesson of kindness matters.
It's good practice.
My tone, it is. It's phenomenal practice. If you want to practice kindness, just have children. So... Then we can teach them how to model that in school. And that goes back to kindness matters. Like, the school can have a kindness matters program, but it always starts at home with the people that you love most. And I think it's just so important for kids to understand and remember the power of their thoughts and their actions and the effect on another human being. And ultimately, the real reason that I started Kindness Matters is because I felt like we were talking about earlier, I don't understand bullying. I don't understand kicking someone while they're down. Usually the people that get bullied tend to be marginalized in some way, or they're already having something going on. So,
I mean,
why would we hurt somebody who's already struggling? Like, that doesn't make any human sense.
She was being bullied just because she was shy and meek and quiet, you know, and just because she was different. That's it. It doesn't take much, and it's almost like the pack mentality. Then two more kids join in.
It is pack mentality.
And
that's what kids have to realize, that the pack mentality is not okay. And
you don't have to be like everybody else.
You're just trying to, right, like, we have to help them remember, like, why in God's name would you want to be a clone of one another? Like, let's celebrate that you play an instrument and you play a sport and you love to act. Like, why do we all, and who judges which one is cooler than the other? Ludicrous.
When God made us all equal, that's the best part about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's really interesting. But I also, because we have only a few minutes, I wanted to say something else. You are also the executive director of Children's Voice International, which is a non-profit organization, I understand, that is dedicated to help children after being sex trafficked, to help them rebuild, restore themselves and feel loved. That's really nice. We had a show on sex trafficking before.
Yes.
So that's really important. Apparently it's much more prominent than everybody thinks.
Yes, I really am just floored by what a problem it is in our country and what's going on here, not people coming from other countries. It's going on in all of our communities, and it's pretty hairy.
This is really bad. Wow. More people actually realize that's happening and try to, all of us, do something about it. Thank you, Veronica. We're almost done with the show.
More information can be found on thekindnesssolution.com. Thank you, Veronica, so much for being with us. People like you are so needed.
Yes.
I so appreciate you having me. It was a true delight talking with you. I have a feeling we could talk all day.
Yes.
So thank you.
There is more. We'll do it again. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
And also, if you guys don't get to thekindnesssolution.com, any guests that we've had on the show, all their information will also be on godisthecure.com.
Right.
And thank you to our audio producer, Jasper, for being with us today and making the sound beautiful. Robbie and his positive comments that keep us
maybe
going.
Negative sometimes, too.
Constructive criticism is great. I don't mind. But here's a useful parable, guys. A Sufi or Sufi parable states, as the seeker prayed, along past him came the crippled and the beggar and the beaten, and seeing them he cried, "Great God, how is it that a loving creature can see such things and yet do nothing about them?" God said, "I did do something. I made you." In the opening chapters of the book of Genesis, our scripture tells us of the work of God that is creation. With tenderness and care, day after day, God labors to bring forth the earth and all that is in it. On the last day of creation, God takes one creature from amidst the rest of the breath and breathes into this body, being God's very own breath, God's very own life. This creature, scripture tells us, is formed in God's very own image and likeness. This creature is called to participate with God in the ongoing work of creation. This creature has a most special role in the universe. This creature is a worker. Let us take a moment to reflect on our call to work. In what way does the work that you do support those that you care about most? In what way does your work help you to realize your full dignity and your full potential? In what way does your work serve the common good? In what way is your work part of God's ongoing work of creation? What are the kind of difficult decisions that your work calls you to make? And how does the work that you do call you to holiness? When considering the great dignity and call of the human person, our ancestors in the faith were moved to marble. Let us hear in their timeless words of praise from Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are the human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them all a little lower than God and crowned them with glory.
For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcast of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.